VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Ruck. Jones, you look a bit weary today.
I'm a bit weary. It's continuous hard work. I was up all night working. Got up this morning, worked before breakfast. And then I sat in a planning meeting with someone who is an expert on getting us back through Heathrow without having to have some dreadful quarantine behind security guards for 11 days. So if there's any immigration experts out there listening today, please add your voice to the, add your evidence, because we are desperate not to do that. Even if we have to go to Siberia, we are desperate not to have to go to the dodgy Heathrow hotels and spend £1,700 on getting through to the country where we live.
We have quite a big constituency of immigration experts listening to this podcast.
I know we do. Just tell us what to do.
It's mainly for them that we record this. Anyway, so I didn't introduce myself, which is a bit rude. I'm Owen Slots. And look, Jones, so I'm not sitting next to Jones at the moment because it's bad weather. He wouldn't come to my hotel. Also, he's still envious of my hotel room. But look, Jonesy, who I've got sitting next to me, has joined us for the day.
Hang on. Couldn't we get a broadsheet journalist? you didn't tell me we're going to go tabloid.
Yeah. I'm just here to see Slotty's new palatial room, because I obviously live in a broom cupboard in the same hotel, but he's got the broadsheet boutique, so to speak. This place is absolutely enormous. It's bigger than my house.
So okay. Listen, we didn't even explain who it was. I'm sitting with Johnny Fordham from the rugby correspondent of The Sun. As Johnny explained, I'm in a palatial room. So the hotel laundry completely messed up my laundry and put extra bleach on my favourite shirt and ruined it. So I was very sad about that. But the reward is I've now been moved to a junior suite and there's enough room in here to play yard cricket. So if you fancy coming around for a couple of overs, Jonesy.
Okay, I will. Well, as soon as it stops raining, I'll be up there.
But this is actually your second upgrade since you've been here, which I think slightly controversial, isn't it?
You know, they gave me an upgrade initially because they said they admired my my journalism and especially my my intros.
Right. Well, I tell you what, the second one was when you deliberately poured bleach over your own shirt. So that's good as well.
Jonesy, what do you think Johnny's, the highlight of Johnny's tour has been so far, his main achievements?
I think basically it's still to come when he boards the plane home, I think, really. But his main achievements, well, I tell you what, to be absolutely fair, he is a very, very fine tourist. Heart and soul tourist. He's occasionally a pain in the ass. In fact, he was only a pain in the ass twice yesterday, once for 16 hours and once for 8 hours. And fair play, keeps the oval ball rolling in the Sun, which not everyone who writes for the Sun over the years has done. So it's actually a pleasure to be a tabloid story as well as a broadsheet story, because that's how rugby should be.
But so I was just giving you the option of complimenting Johnny on his groundbreaking news on this tour. Johnny, what was the story that you broke?
Oh, hang on a minute.
Johnny's gone all modest on us. Sorry, which one, he's saying, yeah.
There's been so many. I've been here for so long now, you see. Which one?
Well, you broke the Alan Wynne story.
Well, myself and esteemed the other Broad Street writer that we obviously now won't talk about. Mm. We're fortunate enough to be here from the start. And yeah, we did. Even when we did that Alan Wynne Jones story, there was a kind of glint in Gatlin's eye. And you didn't know whether he was kind of being serious or if he was just kind of putting out a little bit of a message to the Springboks or anything like that. So yeah, that was a great time. I mean, that was about 6 years ago now, I think, right at the start of the tour. So it's been a long old slog, and it's great to finally have one test down and then almost, you know, get it wrapped up this weekend potentially. So it's been a long old slog, but worth it. I think my greatest achievement was actually yesterday and organizing the trip to the Vineyard. I think that was a magnificent day for everyone.
Do we want to go public on our trip to the Vineyard, Jonesy?
Well, I I didn't stay for the wine tasting afterwards because I was more professional than you guys who did stay and didn't get back to the bar long after, about 4 hours after the curfew. So I don't think I'm the one to ask because I was very, very measured in my response to the amount of wine that was there. And I drove back, admittedly in a taxi, but and I wasn't the driver, but I did take the car back very early.
You managed to sort yourself an Uber out, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Do you know what? I've never got an Uber before. And I was pressing all these buttons. And I thought, oh, God, this is a disaster. Then this car came up and said, is that Steve? And I said, yeah, why? He said, well, you're Uber driver. It was brilliant.
Johnny, what is your view on the weekend? As you say, the lines might wrap it up or they might go one all and then we're really in a dogfight.
I think they're going to do it, and I think they're going to do it because I think the Springboks are absolutely on their knees already. I think that first test, you could see a lot of their players really, really struggling. Obviously, they've had the massive, unfortunate COVID situation that they had in their camp. There was, 14 of them altogether, Khaleesi, pretty much their whole front row. I just don't think a week's going to be long enough, and I think that it's going to be 2-0, by the end of Saturday night, and that's it. And if it does go 2-0, I think Gatlin still would absolutely ring the changes for his line side, and then you would still fear for the Springboks again, wouldn't you? They just don't look like they're going to last a full 80, a lot of these guys. And the guys that do come on the other week, they didn't make any impact whatsoever. They've had.
Do you not find, Johnny, that when you've had a week off your training, you can get back into test match form within a week?
Yeah, well, you know what? It's they haven't played what? When was the last time they played that Georgia game, which was an absolute?
Yeah, well, that wasn't even a proper game. They had the Georgia game, then they haven't played a game together since the World Cup final.
Yeah, so I think 2-0 by the end of Saturday night, and then I do fear the worst for South Africa as well next week.
Jonesy, you disagree, don't you? Look, you're frowning down the other end of that.
I do. I'm sorry. For a start, the humiliation of losing 2-0 as the world champions. In front of your own people, albeit only on the television, is one thing. But anyone who doesn't realise what is going to happen or what is going to be thrown at the Lions this week doesn't know their Springboks, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, they were quite close to winning last week. They wouldn't have deserved to, but they were quite close. But it's going to be hell on wheels this weekend, no question about it. From first to last. And I mean, one thing I actually wrote in the Times, boys, was that the game plans this week, don't bother, because the course of the game, the passion and the bitterness and the anger will come pouring out of the box, and the game plans will go west because they'll just be swept away in the thunder of it all. So I think the box, I got the box down to win. Johnny's right, they've been panicking all week. I mean, Razzie's made a bit of a spectacle of himself, really, last week. And the funny thing is, still this morning, five or whatever it is, days after the test match, you're still getting home media people texting something else they found, which is, they say was the ref's fault, which is hilarious. So they're panicking, but they will translate that into pure animal passion on Saturday.
So, Jonesy, you think that the fact that they're knackered and out of shape will be irrelevant on the big day?
Well, I mean, they're going to be less knack and less out of shape than they were. I mean, but also they made a huge blunder with a bomb squad because they put they just chucked them on at half time. You should always you should never do that. You should always let your first team or your starting team absorb some of the pressure of the early scrums, which is what the Lions did. When the Lions reserve front row came on, the bomb squad had already done a few scrums and were already tiring. I don't think they're back to their best, but people like Malherb and Bongi in the up front, they don't suddenly become bad props overnight just because they're short of gas. So, you know, I think there's not much you can do in a week, admittedly, about your endurance, fitness, etc. But they will find ways. I swear they will find ways.
Mako has been promoted to starting loose head on Saturday, and Malherb's been promoted to starting tight head for the box. Do you think there's a bit of an Osterrant Paul Wallace 1997 revisited narrative in that?
No, because I never rated Osterrant. I thought he was a barrel of lard sometimes. I never rated him. He was a great talisman. I never thought he was a great prop, as Julian White of England proved at Twickenham, where he utterly dismantled Oz into about 20 pieces in the scrum. I think Malherb is a much better scrummager and will be good this week. And I think it'll all be down to the Kiwi ref to sort out the scrum. And the last time the Kiwi ref sorted out the scrum was in 1833. So that's a danger to the Lions. Mako's really going to have to show his very best form. I think the one blow for the Lions is, with respect to Mako, who's a great player, is that Wyn Jones was not fit, because he's the guy who's come on this tour the most and was playing great rugby. And I think it's a real shame they couldn't refresh the team with a new loose head prop.
Johnny, so should we talk about Jaakko Johan? We should talk about Jaakko Johan.
Is he not about to log on to this Zoom call, onto the podcast?
So, well, Johnny, you need to explain who Jaakko Johan is. He's the new most exciting mystery journalist in world rugby, isn't he?
He's World Rugby Man of the Year, isn't he, so far? Yeah, Jaakko, where do we start with Jaakko? So Razzie's mate, Jaakko, what do we call him? I've been calling him a ghost Twitter account. Apparently, the official phrase is a burner Twitter account. Do you know what a burner Twitter account is?
I thought you knew all this terminology.
No, this is even over my head. So
sorry, I thought we got Johnny on because he was like terminology guy.
I know what a burner phone is.
Yeah, well, it's essentially the same thing. So it's a fake Twitter account, if you will, a pseudonym, Jaakko Johan. And
why is it called Jaakko Johan?
Well, apparently it's to do with Jack Nienbar is the Jaakko bit, and Johan is Razzie's actual first name. So that's where the name comes from. I would have thought that if you're going to have a fake Twitter account or a burner Twitter account and you didn't want it to be associated with yourself, you wouldn't call it Owen Shop, would you?
No, well, no one would work that out. So But Razzie's denied that he's a fake or a burner or a ghost.
Yeah,
he?
I mean, he's obviously completely denied it, which is absolute baloney. So that was a bit of fun on, when was it, on Monday and Tuesday this week. And
but
then
on Tuesday, during the Lions team announcement, Jaakko actually joined the team announcement on Zoom, didn't he?
Yeah, which was incredible. And we were all sitting there, and I don't know if we're going to get to the truth and manage to reveal who the real Jaakko is. But then all of a sudden, Jaakko Johan pops up on our Warren Gatland Zoom press conference, which was absolutely magnificent. So we were just waiting for him to reveal himself and ask a few questions to Gatland. But sadly, he didn't have the bottle.
Well, do you actually not know who Jaakko was on that Zoom call on Tuesday?
No, I don't. No.
Okay. Well, it was me. All right.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I had everyone wondering because, you know, you can just change the name on your thing. And I only did it for about a minute because I thought it was quite funny.
But then
I appeared in Johnny's newspaper the next day, who said that this mystery Jaakko Johan had appeared on the press conference call.
I didn't know that. It's brilliant.
Neither did I until we sat in our bar, which was finally open. Thank you very much, Cyril. We sat in our bar that was finally open on Tuesday night. And I said, oh, yeah, I even put a line about Jaakko Johan appearing on Warren Gatland's Zoom. And Slotty just sat there and almost fell apart and went, that was me. And I was like, what?
What do you think of that, Jonesy? I pulled off a Zoom online gag without even meaning to.
Were you Captain Birdseye and Adam Hathaway as well?
I could never be Adam Hathaway, because to be Adam Hathaway, you've got to have completed 6 years of medical degree and then 1 week before the end decide you're not going to be a doctor and actually be a rugby writer after all.
I think we need the story about how you managed to change your Zoom name as well. How did you know
how to do that?
Yeah, but how did you know? Who taught you to do it and how did that come about?
Oh, well, my kids taught me how to change the name. And I tell you why, because during lockdown, when we were doing family Zooms and everyone was changing their names, I didn't know how to. And so the name on my laptop was changed by one of my kids to something rude, let's just say like that, something uncomplimentary. And the next day I was on an RFU call, Zoom, and they wouldn't let me in. And I was going, why won't they let you in? And they said, why won't you let me in? And they said, well, there's someone here called Family Fuckwit, and we're not letting him in. I said, well, that'll probably be me then. So it's only on the back of that I've worked it out.
You've got to get some discipline in your home. Bad language like that is not on, honestly. Just going back to the really important thing of the week, what was really embarrassing for journalism was the clips which came out, which showed a group of journalists from what used to be called Fleet Street, all in the same room, standing up, watching the state president, Cyril Ramaphosa, making his latest dispositions to quell the pandemic and the third or fourth wave. And the embarrassing thing was, as he came to the point of possibly opening alcohol sales again after a long and thirsty break, when he announced that he was, there was a pathetic jig danced by the sort of aforesaid hacks in a sort of circle like drunken Morris dancers, just so that we can have a bloody drink. It was pathetic and embarrassing. I took no part in that. I maintained my dignity as the President Cyril made his dispositions.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility, there's more to iPhone.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, we always say this every week, and I was talking to the great ex-Lion Donal Lenihan this morning at breakfast. Donal's out here broadcasting. Really, really lovely fella. And we were saying that you never, ever get over the empty stadium. My first empty stadium I saw, I think, was after post-lockdown at Bristol, and it was horrible, and I never, ever get over it. You never get over the fact that where we are now on Cape Town waterfront, boys, there'd be just a huge crocodile of red jerseys, you know, going around enjoying themselves. And I know you'll say, look, at least we can get a restaurant booking now, but I would rather stand outside the restaurant looking in if the fans could be here. South African fans as well. I know we say it every week. I feel deeply for them, and it doesn't get any easier now the test series is on and reaching a climax.
Do you know what, on that, and I don't normally get, I suppose I might have a bit of a cold heart, so I don't normally get emotional or anything like that, but I do agree with you massively. I think that game last week was the first game at the start there when they were having the anthems and all that, when I thought, do you know what, this is an absolute desperate situation. It's desperately sad that there was there was no one there. And I was just thinking how amazing it would have been to have that stadium full and the whole city full. And it, there was a, who was it? Paul from Bolton and his wife, Helen, the Springbok and yeah. the Lion, who we all met on the way into the ground, and they'd come down and, you know, they were going to, they cheered the buses on. I think there was a few of them there in the end. I think there was about 10 of them actually who did make their way down there. And
10 fans out of 50, should have been 55,000.
Yeah. I mean, it was, it was a lovely little kind of moment to see them do it. But yeah, that first test was the first time when I actually went, do you know what? This is really, really, really crap without fans. And that was the first game. I mean, we're used to it now. We've been to Twickenham, and I never had that feeling at Twickenham. I never had that feeling at Murrayfield in Cardiff, but it was just that one game. And I guess that's what the Lions does to you in a way, isn't it? It's that one situation where you think there should be 30,000 here, all come from different countries and all having the time of their lives. And it's just
so that's cold-hearted Johnny.
Yeah.
He's been moved. He's been moved to sadness. He seems to be handling. He seems to be handling it all right.
Don't worry, we got over it yesterday. We're good now. So, but I mean, it'd be interesting.
The thing is, Scotty, the majors come in to do my room. Excuse me, I'm just on the podcast here.
That'll take him about 30 seconds because it's such a small room.
No, it's not. Okay. It's a big room. It's a double aspect. That means I can look out both windows. Apparently, one thing last week going into the game. It'll be forgotten now, but I just thought that both sides, both camps, there was a long, long time where you never thought they'd get through to the test matches. And to get through is a tribute to their ability to stay together, stay focused, when there's no distractions whatsoever, no nice distractions. I mean, apart from golf in their own complex, the Lions have had nothing. They've been, you know, they've done Lego, they've been playing DJ, you know, DJing, training and all that sort of stuff.
But they've been for coffees at Jamie George's and Elliot Daly's coffee shop. I mean, that's been about the highlight of the tour for them, I think.
It is. And it just shows what the, as Johnny says, it shows what the Lions mean to players. And it shows that the idiots who fixed this tour originally should get out of the way and grant the players' wishes to have proper prep, proper fixtures and a proper tour.
Tablets of stone there from Jones. He's wearing his flowery shirt today.
Is that a curtain?
Yeah.
But you can't all be...
You've got an all floral on us again, Jonesy.
I got a better floral one than this, but it's in my bag at the Terramoc. It's coming down today by courier. This is much, it's much better than this one. You boys just haven't got style. That's your problem.
Thanks. Well, it's good, nice to hear that from a star guru. You know where you're going wrong.
Do you know what? Slotty is so attached to our hotel, Jonesy. Yesterday, he was wearing a Santa Claus tie and a Radisson blue tie pin. He was part of the establishment. He's been here for so long. He's had so many upgrades that he's now wearing the hotel company pin badge. And it looked, do you know what? It looked great. And it was, I think, his best dressed on the tour so far.
This is my home. This is the people here are my family, and this is my home. This is where I am now. I hope that my wife back in London's not listening, but you know, those are good old days. But this is where I am now.
Well, she's not listening, but I'm just ringing Juliet's number now to tell her that you've got another family. We've always suspected it.
Johnny, what do you think? What do you make of the changes to the Lions team? Do you think Gatti's made it stronger, or do you think he's just played around with the way he wants to attack the game?
Yeah, I think a bit of both actually, and I think Jonesy's right about Wyn Jones as well. After that South Africa A game, I think everyone was adamant that he would be the starter, and he was picked to start. And it's pretty sad for him that so far he's been struggling with what's turned out to be a shoulder infection as well, which sounds pretty nasty as well. So you just hope that he can get himself right for the third test, because he's had a great tour so far. I think I was probably in the slightly silent Chris Harris brigade.
We're all Chris Harris fans on here, aren't we?
Okay.
So Jonesy and I are both in the Chris Harris camp.
Okay, great. So we're in a safe space to talk about it. Yeah, I thought he's been brilliant. I would never in a million years put his name down as a test line before the start of this tour. So I'm pleased that he's in there. And I think that Connor Murray, I guess it's the kind of pragmatic approach, and it's going to give you potentially a little bit more stability, potentially a slightly more accurate kicking game. And obviously he's got all that experience. I mean, third tour now, he gets to start on this one for the first time. He's had a rough old ride, hasn't he? He's been a COVID close contact. He was given the captaincy when I imagine probably in a million years he didn't want that, really. And so this is his moment as well, in a way. So I think that the changes that he has made, I would agree with them. I don't think there's anything else I would have done. I mean, I sound like an absolute Gatti super fan there, don't I? Which is pretty sickening. So I do apologise that, and it's very.
What do you think, Jonesy? Do you agree with the Gatti super fan?
Yes, I do agree with the Gatti super fan, but for different reasons. Thing is, last week the Lions had this curious play, which Alan Wynne-Jones specifically mentioned, and not in glowing terms, where they tried to go wide and outside the box. The box defend pretty narrow. They try to go wide, but what would happen is they'd make six dodgy passes at an angle of about 45 degrees. By the time we got near the wing, they'd be 40 metres behind where they started. And it was absolutely catastrophic, especially as Dale Ende and Lucanio Am read it all the time. And poor old Daly, he kept on copying it. Now, there's no way they can do that. They've got to play on the honour over the advantage line. That is where Robbie Henshaw, who is hugely competitive in the second half, and Chris Harris come into it. Now, I actually think Chris Harris is a player. I happen to think that the combination of Mark Atkinson and Chris Harris at Gloucester is one of the better combinations, or probably the best combination, in the Premiership. And look, I think the idea, especially with Conor Murray, the man who the Sunday papers revealed as the new Lions captain after the loss of Alan Wynne-Jones. His service he's not nearly as sharp as Ali Price. And him being there, as Johnny says, will be a kicking game. And I think the Lions have given up on the idea of trying to somehow outflank the box, and will be taking them on the advantage line. So I think those selections are correct. I think that Talepi Falatu had to come back onto the bench. I think Tom Curry will play a load better this week. I think he's just finding himself, but I think he'll be loads better. And if they win, he's bound to be close to man of the match. Let's hope that Alan Wynne, Maro Itoje and Courtney Laws have got another gallop in them. So I'm fairly happy about the team. But again, I do not think that team selection will have any part to play on Saturday. It will be heart and soul. It will be battering and it will be ferocious.
I tell you what, one guy who I wasn't sold on before the game and during the first half in particular as well was actually Stuart Holt. I thought he had a bit of a rough ride, but he grew into it. I mean, he was one guy that I didn't think should have been in there. I would have had Liam Williams there. And then obviously this week, Liam Williams is nowhere to be seen. So I think that's
I'm just agreeing with everything Johnny says today. I would have had Liam from the start. And I don't think Stuart Hogg's quite proven himself, but maybe he will do now.
I think as Jonesy says, though, you mentioned Tom Curry and Tom Curry's going to grow into it. You've now got that out of his system, so to speak. He's had his first Lions test start. It's done now, and now he can crack on. And I imagine, you hope the same for Cowan Dickey as well.
Yeah, I was going to say Cowan Dickey. I think he know he owes the Lions a really good one this time around, and I think he'll deliver it. Okay, quick question for you two: Lions are 1-0 up. In your heart of hearts, would you rather them win 2-0, or would you rather it went to 1-0 and an extraordinarily dramatic final week? 2-0 kills off the series. 1-1 makes it a blistering finish.
I would rather 2-0 get it done and dusted. This has been a long old tour. This has been a long old slog. I mean, the players have been together for, what is it now, 8.5 weeks in a bubble. I mean, it's been, it's pretty depressing, the stuff and the protocols and the amount of COVID tests that they've had. So I think for them to go 2-0 up, and then I do honestly think that if the Lions went 2-0, I think they could do the whitewash, because I think that this squad, when you look at it, it's so much stronger than the 2017 one, when obviously you're going to have people go off tour, because you could go back off tour back then. So I would say I just want them to get it done this weekend. From a
Would it be a whitewash, or we call it a botquash, wouldn't we? Johnny, the Sun would call it a botquash, wouldn't you?
It's absolutely going to be a botquash.
Come on, but the Sun. But
one of my colleagues at the newspaper is talking about what you're talking about, which is it, how great would it be if it went one all, and then you've got this one monumental game.
What do you think, Jonesy? One all or 2-0?
Well, look, I think I'm on record now as saying I think the Box are going to edge it. I really do. But having said that, and from the point of view of the Lions as a concept and this team, I think they've been heroic. I'd love them to win 2-0. And then I think, as Johnny said earlier, I think Warren then would say, right, I'm going to give all the boys a game. I would love to see Finn Russell out there in a test match. I'd love to see some of the other boys out there who've really given it everything. I really would. So Josh Adams, etc. So I think the Lions can relax and let their hair down a bit then. If it's 2-0, I don't think it will be, but I think it then really will be all, you know, the alarm bells ringing for the third test match. But again, I just think that Warren is got that wisdom that I would fancy them more in the third test than I do in the second test. Because as Warren says, it's very difficult to replicate the massive, almost superhuman effort twice in a row. So that it's as simple as that. So I still think the Lions win the series, but I think it's going to be all hands to the pump this week.
Okay, should we finish up with some predictions? I'll go first. Prediction for the score. I think the conditioning thing is really the deciding factor in these two teams. So I think that the Box will not catch up quickly enough, and I can see the Lions winning this one by 8 points.
I think it'll be a little bit closer, and I think it, for exactly the same reasons, but I think the Lions will squeak home, do it by 6, and I think it's going to be the last 10, 15 minutes, like last week, it's going to go right to the wire.
Well, I think it'll be like the Lions playing against every Springbok who's ever worn the shirt, and I think the Springboks will win by 6.
All right, boys, that was good fun. Thank you very much. Jonesy, in your hotel over there?
Yeah, it was tremendous, honestly. I've just been upgraded for the 8th time.
On that bombshell. Cheers, boys. Thanks, Jonesy. Thank you, Johnny. And this is The Rut. We'll see you, we'll see you after the first test, after the weekend. Sorry, not after the first test, after the second test even. Bye, guys.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on. Settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books. Contacts. Calendar. Double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author Elizabeth Gilbert about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.